Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, Friday the 13th, January 13th.
That's what it is, Friday the 13th. That's why I goofed up.
Is that why everything has been going wrong for you today, Tom?
I think so.
Now, of course, if you are listening to the re-air of the program, welcome to Saturday afternoon at 4 here on KVOI, because we are re-airing today's, and we do it, been doing it for a while now. The Buckmaster Show gets a re-air on Saturday afternoon here on KVOI. Big shout out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan. Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, Dan Shears organizations. TucsonLifestyle.com, thank you. Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, a Democrat representing the 6th Supervisorial District. Five. There are only five. What am I? I just added another one for you. How are you today?
I'm great, Bill.
Thank you very much.
I've always thought of the 13th as being a good luck day because that was my dad's union label number.
And it was.
He stayed in business for 50 years, so he did good.
Well, I'm already off to a great start here, adding a supervisorial district, right? Joining us in studio to speak with Supervisor Elias, Tim Steller. Real important to have Tim on the show today. This is the 20th anniversary of Tim joining the Arizona Daily Star at the time as a Cub reporter.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think I was as young as I was.
That picture you posted on Facebook, my goodness. Yeah. What were you, just out of a college?
No, I had been around a bit, bounced around, but I had just spent a year and a half in Flagstaff and then came down here.
And at the Flagstaff Sun?
At the Arizona Daily Sun, yeah. That's how I ended up out here. I couldn't get a job in Minnesota where I was. I applied to every paper up to International Falls.
Really?
Couldn't even get an interview.
Even Bemidji, Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, Bemidji, Wausau, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. Farmington. But I spoke Spanish, which wasn't very useful up there. And so
it is now.
Yeah, it's more so now, yeah. Detroit Lakes. Yeah.
So who'd you interview with at the Star?
Steve Auslander was the top guy in the newsroom at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Steve took, John Burstein was a new reporter the same day as I, and he took us out to, was there a restaurant called Gran Guadalajara?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think it exists anymore.
No. It was there where Rico's.
Well, I'm not surprised. Now. Right, okay. I'm not surprised because John and I got food poisoning on our first day.
Oh, my goodness. I am so glad that they are not in business right now. We're very glad they're not in business.
That's why I checked.
Yes, good. Thank you very much. Protecting us here on the Buckmaster Show, yes. All right, so.
All right, well, thank you, Bill. Appreciate
it. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
So you started as a beat reporter and then went to columnist. How many years has it been for the...
The column's been 4 years. I've done a lot of things at the paper in between. I was a GA, general assignment reporter. I covered border issues for 5-6 years.
Did you cover Richard and the supervisors at all? Or?
Not really, no. Okay. I mean, not directly. Only when things came up that I had to go in for it.
Right.
I was pretty unaware of Tucson politics for about 15 years of my 20 years.
And quickly, you were only going to stay a year. Was that the plan?
Yeah, I applied for my first job outside of Tucson within 6 months of getting here.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Supervisor Elias, the future of horse racing at Rito will come up before you and your colleagues on Tuesday. Is there a future for quarter horse racing?
Well, absolutely. I think there is. It's not just quarter horse racing, but it's also thoroughbred racing out there. What I would say is that, personally, I'm in favor of the contract that's in front of us, but I think that we need to recognize that Rito needs to continue being a multi-use facility. It's not just about horse racing. It is about youth soccer. It is about the other events that take place there. We have a very successful farmers market there. There are a number of other festivals that are held there. There's also some traditional kind of park space there for people. I wish that could be enlarged personally because I think there's a great need in that area given that the surrounding neighborhoods are very low income and have a lot of kids and a lot of apartments in them. But that being said, I think it's unfair to just cut the legs out under horse racing at this particular juncture. And let's give them a chance to see how successful they can be over the next few years and continue on as a multi-use facility. That's the critical thing, and that the improvements we make benefit as many users as possible.
Is it a four-year deal that will be?
It's a four-year deal, but it'll give them a total of 5 years to continue horse racing because they still have 1 year on their current contract.
Okay.
Now, you say it should be a multi-use facility as if someone's saying that it shouldn't be. Is someone saying that it shouldn't be? Perhaps the soccer, youth soccer?
Well, it is a multi-use facility, and so that's what we start with. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, there's so many competing interests in that place, Tim. I think that's why I phrase it that way, because I want everybody to know that they need to share that facility. And I also think that we need to think about youth sports, especially right now, because it's critical and it's a critical need in our community. And it's going to continue to be because, frankly, we're underparked both in the city and in the county and in the various jurisdictions. So the problem with REIT, though, is that it's such a valuable piece of real estate that anybody who gets a foothold there automatically assumes that they are the owners. Mm. They are not the owners. It's the public. It's a parks and rec property, and we need to take a look at it that way and make sure that it serves as many people as possible.
790-2040. If you have a question or comment for Supervisor Elias, one of the hot items that was pushed off and until the new year was the deal about Monsanto. And when I say a deal, let's get some things straight here, Supervisor. This meeting on the 21st is coming up on Monsanto, but this is not about whether or not Monsanto is going to be in Pima County.
Right. And we should clarify that it's February 21st.
February.
Right, because it's not January 21st, but it is February.
February 21st.
It is the second meeting in February.
My second Friday the
13th. Well, no, you're correct, you're right. There's a number of public hearings taking place, and one of them is on January 21st. So that might have been where you
got
that
information. That's where I did see it. In fact, I have the list in front of me right now.
And I'd encourage everybody to attend those meetings and talk to the folks from Monsanto.
You've got one. Your District 5 meeting is at 6 o'clock on January 18th.
Right. So. Each of us, I asked for a meeting to be held at each one of the supervisorial districts.
Okay.
Because I think it's important to get that word out. No, we're not going to stop Monsanto from coming. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is putting together an application to be a part of a foreign trade zone that exists that would allow them certain concessions, both from local government as well as from the feds. My issue is they're coming here. And typically when you get property tax abatements, carefully, they're given to provide incentive to a company to come. Monsanto's coming anyways. Their profits from the third quarter of last year were $2.5 billion. I don't think they need the money that they're asking us to give up to continue operating successfully.
So they don't need the incentive, in your opinion, the financial incentive.
I don't think they do. And the other thing is, I think you have to look at nefarious business practices. They were just fined $80 million this past summer by the Securities and Exchange Commission for faulty accounting.
A lot of the people who we've seen speak against Monsanto at the meetings and in other formats have been concerned about their specific business. For example, you know, their production of GMO products is perhaps the number one thing. Is that not also a basis for your opposition?
It is a part of it. But frankly, the science on all of that is very mushy, Tim. And typically, Monsanto buys off people who criticize them. So it's very difficult to nail them on that particular issue. But I think the investigation needs to continue because we have countries all over the world, states in the United States, that object to Monsanto on its scientific reasons. Mm-hmm. I'm saying let's look at stuff that we can talk about in a factual manner. And part of that is bad business practices and not being a good community partner. Hmm. Part of not being a good community partner is explaining what you're doing and treating other farmers who are close to you well instead of suing them because your seeds blow over into their fields and then you sue them because they're stealing your product. You know, that this is not the way we create good community. This is not the way we have conducted business in Pima County. As long as I've been around, that's only 58 years.
But that's not a real threat here in Tucson with the operations they're talking about. They're talking about greenhouse operations up there in Avra Valley that potentially some seeds could escape, some genetic material could get out there. But that, as far as I know, the farmers even here in this region haven't complained about that. We're not growing a lot of corn.
I've seen a lot of farmers complain about Monsanto coming into town, mostly the organic farmers. Oh. Who work in the area, but they object to the whole notion of GMOs. You're probably right in that, Tim, but nothing is perfect. Yeah, you have a sealed greenhouse, but it's not going to be perfect. It's going to leak from time to time. That's a part of life. Much in the same way as if you seal a giant leaching pond in the middle of the Santa Rita Mountains with a big piece of rubber, likely at some point it's going to leak and start to poison the Sanyega watershed. But, you know, things fail.
All right,
we have to be real.
We're going to take a break right here. It's 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. On Friday, we go into the vaults for some music that will bring back some memories to many people. Richie Valens dying in that plane crash February 3rd, 1959, with the Big Bopper was also on board. And, of course, Buddy Holly. Mm-hmm. And even was in the song American Pie, Bad News on the Doorstep refers to the newspaper headline about that plane crash. And I hate to say this, but I actually, as a little kid, remember picking up the Chicago Tribune and reading that story about the loss of Richie Valens. Guess what? Richard Elias, he was only 17.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And
that's amazing. He was quite a talent.
Very talented.
And that was about 1 month after I was born. I was one month old
goodness.
When that happened.
And our friend Ray Allen tells me, Tom, that Waylon Jennings
was
supposed to be on the plane.
Right. Yeah.
That crashed in Iowa, I believe, a cornfield.
I believe it was a cornfield in Iowa, yeah.
I think there was poor weather conditions. They had snow and all kinds of stuff.
So the signature song, Tom, is, of course, La Bamba.
For Richie Valens?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Don Jorgensen and Jim Kelly, plus our monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show airs on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We've got worldwide live listening podcasts and 6 years of shows archived at buckmastershow.com. Come on, let's go, Richie Valens. And Richard Elias, you were saying Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias with us in studio. That's one of your favorites, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
Of Richie Valens.
Yeah, Come On, Let's Go. I think that's the best song he ever wrote.
And his real name, and again, where was he from originally?
His real name was Valenzuela.
Okay.
And he was from Pacoima. He was living in Pacoima when he became famous.
In Southern
famous.
California, near Los Angeles.
His family were immigrants that came up and were farm workers.
Hmm. Uh-huh.
And they were able to move into the city, and they ended up living in a small wooden house there in Pacoima.
Richard Elias, our Friday Focus interview today. Tim Steller is here, and Tim came in, and we're glad he did, to celebrate his 20th anniversary of joining the Arizona Daily Star as a cub reporter. Young man who is just kind of getting his feet wet in the journalism business. Let's go to the live line. The owner of Good News Communication, Doug Martin. Good News Communication, of course, one of the stations in the portfolio is this station right here, KVOI. Go ahead, Doug.
Good afternoon. I really appreciate Supervisor Elias and just the conversation you're having with him. But I wanted to just follow up, Supervisor, on the Monsanto deal. You and the other supervisors and Chuck Huckleberry have done just a tremendous job lately bringing in some great businesses like Caterpillar and the Raytheon expansion and Worldview. And I'm concerned that this sends a message if we're not making Monsanto feel welcome because of our prejudices. And I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, that's a really good question, Doug. And I've been very supportive of our economic development efforts, and I plan to in the future. But I also think we need to guard our community and make sure that we create a community with good community partners. And it's not about prejudice. It's about, for me, it's about factual things. We can't dispute the business practices that they've run into trouble with. we can't dispute the fact that they're making a ton of money. And frankly, Marana School District can use those property taxes very effectively to educate those children in the area. And frankly, Pima County can use that money too to continue providing all the services that we provide. 60% of our money goes into public safety, Doug. I don't think that's something we should take lightly. So it's about good community partners. It's about logical economic development that really provides an incentive to companies to come here to Tucson and Pima County.
And it is a good question, though, because it is the broader picture. You know, these things, perception is so much a part of reality, right? I mean, it may be sending a message that Pima County's not welcoming businesses.
I think it's about us being careful about how we incentivize the companies that come here.
So let's be clear here. I think we haven't stepped back and explained that we're talking about Monsanto getting a foreign trade zone designation, which would bring its property tax rate down, right? 15% to 5%, mm-hmm. if I'm not wrong. Okay, so and my understanding is that the county is considering endorsing that, which would likely ease its passage with the federal government. What about these other entities such as Marana Unified School District, the JTED District, and Pima Community College? Do they all have to play some role
They're
in this, right?
They're all being asked to make a recommendation to the Department of Commerce, the U.S. Department of Commerce, about adding Monsanto to the foreign trade zone that exists in the area.
So what's your understanding of what the county's position is on how Monsanto should deal with these other entities? That is,
well, they've made separate deals with some of those entities. There's a one-time payment that they're making in lieu of taxes to the Marana School District. That has appeared to mollify the concerns that the school district had about it. Pima Community College voted against supporting them, supporting Monsanto in that application. So there's been a fair degree of discussion about it. And we are talking about basically a 10-year property tax break.
Right.
And there's other incentives that are associated with being in a foreign trade zone as well, I should add.
All right. Ingrid has a question about the business community. Go ahead, Ingrid. You're with Richard Elias.
Hi. I realize that the foreign trade zone is kind of a separate animal by itself, but the fact that it's even being created is problematic. But generally speaking, the business community really should be taking care of itself with the consumer. Why our government, our county government in this case, is involved in this is beyond me and a lot of other people.
Okay.
With the tax favoritism, you have totally messed up the market, economy in general. Why is it that government people like to put their fingers in all of this and create situations that make it impossible for the supplier and the consumer to deal with each other in a free enterprise system?
Okay, Ingrid, thanks.
Thank you.
Ingrid, that's a good question, and I'm glad you asked it. But certainly the competition for corporations to place their facilities in communities is rough. And cities and counties and states work together to create these kind of incentive packages. The most successful example of that would be our relationship with Hughes Aircraft Company, which is now Raytheon. When they came here in the 1940s, they basically cut a deal to get no property taxes in perpetuity.
1948.
In perpetuity, though. Mm-hmm. And now they make payments in lieu of the taxes that they would have paid. And they also pay property taxes on other parcels that they have bought since then. But no one can say that that wasn't good for Tucson. They are Tucson and Pima County's largest employer with over 9,000 employees that have good paying jobs, a good union that represents their workers, and something that's added really to the success of our community, and they've been a good community partner to us all. So it is a difficult question to answer, But that's why government gets involved in it.
If I could, I'd just throw in, I think I hear a lot of people complain wherever you are that the economy is not good enough. What are our leaders doing about it? I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Richard, but I think people, constituents put pressure on you all to do something. And this is what you can do. That's the impression. I just don't see, you know, if everybody agreed not to give incentives, then maybe we could have a free market system. But it's a competition, and unfortunately, we have to be involved in it, it seems to me.
The story of my life is that as a local official, I expect to get pressure from both sides of every issue. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like with Rito, you have three or four competing interests that provide pressure on you. So it's normal.
You voted for the renewal of Mr. Huckleberry's contract. A few comments about that. Why do you think Mr. Huckleberry has done a good job?
I think Chuck has done a good job over the years, and I disagree with him fairly regularly. But I don't think he's done anything that merits his termination. And if he does, we can terminate that contract at the will of the Board of Supervisors. All it takes is three votes. And Mr. Huckleberry is evaluated weekly on his performance, as far as I'm concerned, sometimes daily, sometimes by the hour.
All right.
But that's the nature of government management jobs. I also think that Chuck has done a remarkable job of being able to hang in there for a long time and find success. And you're going to make some enemies with all of that. But I also think that we shouldn't arbitrarily decide that we shouldn't have a great, functioning, well-paid manager because we don't deserve that. If you were the CEO of a company that had a revenue stream of $1.3 billion a year, I'd suggest to you that you probably would be getting paid a lot more than Chuck Huckleberry. And that's basically what he manages every day.
Tim, final question from you. A very short one, please.
I think the counterargument to that is that the one concern that he hasn't been, and you all as a board haven't been able to address adequately, is roads. And I think the people who, just because of their condition and all that, and people who oppose him, I think that's the one central issue that I find that they're right about. You know, that
no, I don't think they're right about that. Okay. In truth, the gasoline tax, which funds highway user revenue funds, which is the main source that we've used to repair roads, hasn't been increased since it was founded in 1991. And the other thing is the state legislature has been absconding with the highway user revenue funds that we're supposed to get. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's on Chuck Huckleberry. I think that's on, frankly, faulty leadership at the state level and especially in the state legislature.
Well, it's true, of course, but the HERF funds that have been taken are much smaller quantity when you add them up than the needs we have in our roads. And,
right.
And it's all a question
of priorities,
right?
And that's why
I led
with the issue of increasing the gas tax, mm-hmm. because that's where the real problem is, Tim. Mm-hmm.
All right, Supervisor Richard Elias, I hope you have a great weekend. And let's hear some more Richie Valens before you go. Thanks for coming
let's
in,
do
by
it.
The way. All right. This is Donna.
Oh, Donna.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with the pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
You're mine.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our bumper music, a little bit of the late, great Richie Valens. Tom Fairbanks, that was, I couldn't believe he died at the age of 17, so he must have been recording these hits at like 16.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's amazing is he had so many of these great hits.
Yeah.
So young.
Yeah, he had a great...
That short period of time in his life as an entertainer.
Mm-hmm. Great portfolio of music. On our live line, joining us on our Friday roundtable portion is Jim Nintzel. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks so much for the opportunity to join you guys today.
And Mr. Tim Steller is here, Jim. And I don't know if you heard earlier in the program, we wished Tim well. This is the 20th anniversary of him joining the Arizona Daily Star.
Wow, 2 decades.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that long, but anyway... You've got quite a number of years there at your place, too, don't you?
I'm sort of a barnacle. They keep trying to straighten me off the side of the ship.
When did you join the weekly, Jim?
Oh, somewhere in the late 1950s. Mm-hmm. I signed on.
It was known as the Tucson weekly. Monthly or annual at that time.
Yes, the old Pueblo. No, I've been here since I started actually delivering ads for the advertising department as a wee lad back in 1989.
Wow.
And yada, 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 here I am talking with you today.
Okay. The state of the state, bottom line question for you, Jim, and for Tim, where are we going to get the money to pay the teachers more? Jim?
I think that's an excellent question. Yeah, the JLBC is saying there's about $26 million of additional revenue that they can play with. The governor's office is saying that they expect there's going to be more money. I haven't had a chance to take a look at his budget if it's been released yet today. But they seem to think there's more. There's some talk that maybe the renegotiation of the gaming compacts would lead to some additional gambling taxes, I guess you might call them, that could potentially provide some of this funding. But I think the price tag of what a lot of what Ducey proposed is pretty steep, and I'm not sure how much of what he's proposing is actually going to be delivered. So I think it's going to be an interesting session to watch that play out.
Yeah, I wonder about the dynamic between him and the legislature. Already, I understand J.D. Mesnard, the new House Speaker, has... Howie Fisher reported that Mesnard was not so hot on the idea of extending by a year cash benefits, cash welfare benefits via TANF for those who are looking for work. So those kinds of things are going to be, even if we have the money, and there will be significant debate about that, I'm sure that the hardliners in the legislature are going to be looking askance at spending it.
And there's this talk about Democrats want the tax for schools extended. Do you think there's any chance that could happen, Jim Nitzel?
Well, you know, that's that the Prop 301 that was passed almost 20 years ago, and it had a 20-year lifetime. So you've only got a couple of election cycles now. I think the 2018 election cycle or the 2020 election cycle, and it's certainly not a bad idea to go ahead and lock it in earlier rather than later to ensure that or to know whether that money is going to be there or not. And it's going to be complicated to work out the details of how you're going to go about that. And Democrats would like to see it boosted from right now it's 6/10 of a cent, and they want to see it pushed up to a full penny. I don't know where Republicans are on that. I think actually you might find support among the voters for that if you actually had the governor behind it, because he has had a lot of luck persuading voters to go along with things, as we saw with the raid of the state trust fund as part of Prop 123. So, that's going to be one of those things that's open to debate, but I'm not sure, again, that you'll have a lot of buy-in from the GOP lawmakers on forging that particular package. And maybe not this year. We'll see if they address it more seriously next year.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I could imagine them considering putting it to the voters to extend the 0.6 cent increase, but to increase that amount, I just can't see it. To have a tax increase on their record is something they just do not want to tolerate.
I want to get your opinion, Jim and Tim, about the president-elect's first news conference. What did you think of it, Tim Steller?
I didn't see the whole thing. I think I've become a little conditioned to his style of confrontation with the press. So almost no matter what happens, I'm not surprised anymore. One thing that bothered me was the cheering section that he brought in, mm-hmm. which apparently were employees mm-hmm. of his. Mm-hmm. It's undignified. And it's weird. You should be able to stand on your own, go back and forth, answer questions. If you don't like them, there's plenty of ways to avoid answering. But it's almost as if he needed to show the world that someone really was with him, not, unlike these reporters.
Jim, what did you think?
Well, it reminded me a lot of when I used to watch the World Wrestling Federation as a child. And, I don't think that's the way you'd expect the president of the United States to comport himself with the press. And I think it's a sign of, yet again, the norms of governance in this country steadily being demolished. And I think President Obama talked about that in his closing address. About the importance of depending on certain values in this country in order to
maintain the Constitution, and the Constitution is really just a scrap of paper if you don't attend to certain values and certain norms surrounding it. And I think those norms and those values are going to be under constant threat over the next 4 years as the Trump presidency unfolds, and we're going to see just how strong the democratic institutions of this country are in the Trump administration.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I just want to mention there's one thing that, I mean, there's plenty of things that bother me, but throwing around a Nazi comparison was something that I found also pretty undignified. It's everyone knows that when you're online or when you're talking to somebody, when you start talking about Nazi comparisons, you're starting to dig deep and play pretty cheap. And he doubled down on the idea that he's being treated as Nazis treated people in Germany. It just makes, and besides the stupidity of the comparison, it makes no sense, because in Nazi Germany, it wasn't as if the intelligence community was leaking information about Hitler. So it made no sense, but also it's cheap, you know?
Well, we're operating in parallel universes like I've never seen in this country right now. Half the public think the other half don't know what they're talking about, and it's a very, very weird time, Jim Nintzel, and it plays not just on a national level, but to a certain extent here in Southern Arizona as well. Wouldn't you agree, Nintzel?
Well, I would agree certainly with some politicians like Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller, who has frequently disparaged the press. But I think Allie Miller is no Donald Trump. I think even when you talk to some of Allie's supporters in the business community, they will privately admit that she's something of a joke, honestly, especially with some of the moves she's made over the course of her first term, where she's opposed the Raytheon expansion, for example. That's a major economic boom for the Pima County, and she's been on the wrong side of that throughout. And I think she had no faith at all that the county could convince Raytheon to expand its operations here, and she was completely wrong on that front. She thought it wasn't worth the investment, and she was terribly mistaken with the announcement that the expansion is occurring, as well as the other economic activity occurring in the corridor that she didn't think was worth investing in. You know, she's got the issues with the Keno Hospital, what used to be Keno Hospital, is now Banner Health South, which is completely transformed, actually, in over the last 10 years, from a hospital that was losing a tremendous amount of money and was not serving its patients very well on the south side to a very competent medical institution over there. And she's wants to, you know, the county used to have to pay, you know, $40, $50, $60 million to sustain that hospital, and it's down to $15 million now, and she wants to take that away and go back to the old days. I think that in the case of Allie Miller, I think people are starting to see that she is actually not a very smart strategist, and we'll see whether the same sort of thing starts to happen at the national level.
Yeah, I take that comparison. In the sense, especially that she's the best example we have of a local politician who's created a kind of parallel universe, a parallel information zone.
But when you write something and Nintzel writes something that somebody doesn't agree, there is the tendency now to say it's fake news.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm saying this parallel universe extends not just on a national level, but those that are trying to do their job as journalists, and in what I believe, still believe to be an honorable profession, there is this tendency to say, if somebody doesn't like what Nintzel writes or what you write, Tim Stellar, oh, that's just fake news. Yeah. They don't know what they're
talking
about.
Well, I think the one good thing about the overuse of that phrase, fake news, is it's just completely losing its meaning. And it's come to just mean, that's something I don't like. And I hope that that's just what that phrase is going to mean now. For like a day there, it meant stuff that was made up and put on the internet. Then it became started turning into just news I don't like. And so I hope the public just starts to adopt that meaning for it.
Jim?
Well, you know, I do think that there's a situation where people are definitely there's a lot of misinformation out there right now, and I think it's very difficult for a lot of people to sort through what's accurate information and what's not accurate information. And I think when you have a situation like that, a guy like Donald Trump wins because people just don't know what to believe anymore, and they're very easy to bamboozle into believing a lot of the nonsense that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth and comes out of the mouth of other elected officials who like to operate in an environment where nobody's quite sure what's real and what isn't anymore. And I think that's a very dangerous place to take a local community or a national community, because I think that's what you actually see a lot of in Russia these days, where nobody knows who to believe or what to believe. And I think there's a lot of people who still have faith in some of our better media institutions. And, you know, I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people who are going to not have that kind of faith in what anything that the press says. So it's going to be a rough time ahead, without a doubt.
Yeah, I just think that the better we can perform, you know, I hope, especially in a city like Tucson that's somewhat isolated from the outer world, that we can continue to prove our value by being really strong with our facts and with our perspectives.
All right. On that note, positive note, Tim Steller, again, congratulations, 20 years with the Star. Jim Nensel, thank you for joining us. Jim, hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity to have the conversation.
Thank you very much, and have a great weekend, Tim.
Thank you.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. It's next. Stay with us. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport. And announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Weekend Watch Time with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food, and beverage columnist, brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, a great weekend getaway. Our friends over there in a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States encourage you to take a trip to Silver City and go to southwestnewmexico.org, which has the full listing of the many things to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just exploring historic downtown Silver City. southwestnewmexico.org for things to do and places to stay. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great on a beautiful Friday, Bill.
Anything about you love to do kind of a cocktail hour to kind of get us going. What do you have on tap this week?
I do indeed. You know me all too well. You know, it was 2 years ago when the basement in an old funeral home downtown was transformed into a speakeasy of sorts. And now the Tough Luck Club in the basement of Riley Pizza is celebrating its second anniversary with a new cocktail menu. Now, the names of these libations are almost as macabre as the setting that serves them, like the Can't Never Go Home Again with black pepper gin, pineapple syrup, and iced tea. Or if you're a fan of grappa like I am, you might like the, and I quote, 2 years and four divorces, which features nutmeg, syrup, pomegranate, along with that Italian spirit. Lots of great cocktails to choose from. Good luck cocktailing this weekend at the Tough Luck Club.
Any gastro pubbing for us this weekend?
Yeah, you got it. Part of the recent renovations up at the Hilton El Conquistador Resort up in Oro Valley was the opening of a new lounge right in the lobby called Colibri Lounge, and it puts their guests literally at the center of all the action. The cuisine is, as you said, gastro pub driven, which means lots of mac and cheese, planks of smoked meats, gorgeous New York strip with a blue cheese fries, and check it out, tacos stuffed with pig cheeks. I said it, pig cheeks. It's the Colibri Lounge at the El Conquistador. Get out there this weekend.
What am I hearing about the Tucson Japanese Festival?
It is Japanese New Year, Bill. Celebrations abound at the Japanese Festival tomorrow from 11 to 3. Downtown at the Pima Community College, it'll all be there. Taiko, drummers, and music, games and activities for the kids, and of course some traditional Japanese food like ramen, and even some rice-pounding demonstrations. I'm really looking forward to that because my rice-pounding skills aren't nearly up to par. Cost is just $5. Kids are free. Happy Japanese New Year, Bill.
Let's do a big shout-out to a new Buckmaster Show sponsor joining us on Monday, and it's going to be a great opening for Sazerac. Tucson's going to have a Creole kitchen and cocktail party up at St. Philip's Plaza beginning Monday, Matt.
It's going to be so much fun. I'm so eager to see this concept take off. Their chef studied under Chef Paul Prudhomme in the Big Easy. It doesn't get any more authentic than that. Cajun Creole arrives on Monday in St. Philip's Plaza. I know you're just as excited as I am.
I am, Matt. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Cheers, Bill. Right back at you.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our entire team here at KVOI, including station owners Doug and Mary Martin, Ray Allen, our operations manager, who is also my engineer-producer Monday through Thursday, Tom Fairbanks, keeping everything on the up and up on the other side of the glass on Fridays. Of course, Ed Alexander does a great job, our production ace, Jerry Cross, my assistant who makes sure all of our podcasts get up in a very timely fashion, Rosemary Brandt, who's been with me since the beginning of this venture over 6 years ago. Our original theme music from Christophan, our fine German composer, great young German composer. A link is at buckmastershow.com to his work. All of the front office staff here, Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, Christina, our chief engineer, we all wish you a great weekend. Take it easy back Monday.